Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Ahvai. The U.S. House of Representatives have approved a bill that calls for suspension of American aid to the Palestinian Authority if it insists on carrying out a plan to gain U.N. recognition for its statehood declaration in September. A resolution had 320 co-sponsors out of the chamber's 435 voting members. The bill came 1 week after the U.S. Senate unanimously approved a similar measure. In this edition of Press TV News Analysis, we ask that if Palestine is recognized internationally as a state, with a flag flying at the UN, would it level the playing field and try to get some answers as to why the U.S. and Israel are so dead set against this?
This month, the UN Security Council plans to discuss the possibility of Palestine becoming a United Nations member state. And that's not making Washington happy. Efforts are underway to block a UN vote for Palestinian statehood. On Capitol Hill, U.S. senators have already passed a resolution threatening to suspend financial assistance to the Palestinian Authority if its leaders persist in efforts to circumvent direct negotiations by turning to the UN for statehood. A similar bill is being considered by the House of Representatives. Middle East political analyst Richard Hellman says the resolutions show support for Israel but lack real power.
It's not in the hands of the Senate with its resolution or the House with its pending or introduced resolution to decide. It's in the hands of the State Department and the White House.
With budget cuts overwhelming political leaders, Hellman says the U.S. may be tempted to cut aid to Palestine, but if it does, he says there will be many countries who would step in with cash.
Whether it be Saudi Arabia, although they haven't been good about fulfilling their promises, reportedly, or it could be Russia, China, or others who provide aid, or Iran and other oil states as well.
An open debate on the Middle East has been tentatively scheduled for July 26th, but earlier in Washington, the quartet of Middle East peace negotiators, U.S., Russia, EU, and the UN, are expected to meet July 11th. The U.S. is expected to push to revive peace negotiations between Israel and Palestine.
It will come down to whether, you know, President Obama decides to let this come up for discussion in the Security Council. One report was that it might come up as early as July 26th.
President Obama has said no vote at the United Nations would ever create a Palestinian state. Analysts say an American veto at the Security Council, which appears likely, would seem to derail any efforts to win recognition for Palestine as a UN member from the General Assembly.
So I think everything is in gridlock, and frankly, stepping back from what the UN can do or can't do, what it really comes down to is when people are ready to make an agreement, to get together and to make a peace treaty, they do it, and they don't need the United States either approving it or disapproving it or letting it go to the UN or not go to the UN. They do it.
The Arab League has said it would request UN membership for a Palestinian state in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, with East Jerusalem as its capital, at the UN General Assembly in September. Rhonda Pence, Press TV, Washington.
Well, let me introduce our guest first. On this topic, we have a former U.S. Senate candidate, Mark Dankoff, who joins us from San Antonio. We also have Middle East writer Phil Reese, who joins us from London. And rounding it off, a Middle East expert with the U.S. Congressional Research Service, Kenneth Katzman, who joins us on the phone from Washington. Gentlemen, thank you all. Let me first go to Mark Dankoff. Mark Dankoff, why, after all this time, do you think Palestinians have decided, in particular the Palestinian Authority, that this is the best way forward?
All you have to do is look at a map. I was shocked the first time as an American when I looked at a map in terms of what the UN partition created in the 1947-48 time frame, in terms of what was supposedly Jewish land and that which was left over for the Palestinians. When you look at all of these territorial maps since then, there has been a constant expansion of Israeli control of territories that were not theirs in the 1947 partition. And it's very clear to Palestinians, I think, that they're losing in every conceivable way, that these illegal settlements continue, that the occupation of Gaza continues. And let's face it, the American people are not even demanding of their government that their own interests be protected when it comes to the Israeli lobby. After all, when you look at things like the Pollard spy case, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee spy case, the Promise affair, and so forth and so on, as Philip Giraldi of the Council for the National Interest has pointed out, Israel steals more American technology and gets more American taxpayers' money than any other entity on earth. So when we can't even protect our own national interests, why should the Palestinians believe that we're going to protect theirs?
And on that note, Kenneth Katzman, in the past several years, direct and indirect talks between Israel and the PA have not produced any results or tangible results. So what options did the Palestinians really have other than going to the world's highest international body and asking for the right of having a sovereign nation? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm speaking in a private capacity here. And, I'm not in an official capacity.
Point well taken. Go ahead.
There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options. First of all, I mean, we've had the Palestinians and the Israelis have reached four or five agreements, and we have a Palestinian Authority that's operating. We've had an Israeli pull out of the Gaza Strip, although it was unilateral, not agreed, but still the Israelis pulled out. You do have a functioning Palestinian Authority government. It does control its own budget. So that there's been agreements, and I think the U.S. administration and others, the thinking is that sticking to the roadmap of negotiations and compromise will produce an outcome that's acceptable to almost all Palestinians. And expressing frustration through unilateral steps like seeking recognition, will have the effect of basically scuttling any possibility of negotiation. So
negotiations
have
produced
results. But
why would that deter that? Why would the Palestinian statehood and getting that international recognition deter any of that? We've had the U.S. president say before and made promises of a Palestinian statehood.
It's promise of a Palestinian statehood as an outcome, a product of an agreement with the Israelis. That's what the president has said and implied by his comments.
Good. Let me bring in Phil Reese as a reaction to what Kenneth Katzman just said there.
Well, Israel acts unilaterally all the time. It behaves as if there's no other partner when it comes to dealing with the Palestinians. So I think for the Palestinians to do something unilaterally, it's about time. Because I think what Israel has done ever since the Camp David agreement is it's created a kind of tame Palestinian Authority that it manages, it manipulates, it corrupts, and we know that. So what this is doing is, I think for the first time you see members of Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, separate from Hamas, of course, and the unity of government is another issue here, of course, but it's seen them prepared to do something that's separate, because when they've been involved in negotiations, nothing has been achieved. Israel has grabbed more and more land. More and more people have settled illegally on Palestinian land. So they've had no real option. I mean, the Palestinian Authority, of course, have been discredited. We saw WikiLeaks earlier, talked about them fawning to the American administration. And basically, why Israel is so opposed to this is not because it matters in a practical sense, but symbolically, it's an assertion by the Palestinian Authority that we're separate. We're not under you anymore. We're not playing by your rules. We're actually doing something separate.
Well, when you talk about Israel being afraid of this, I'd like to point something out here. Mark Dankoff, get your reaction. Prime Minister Netanyahu has been said to be so frightened at the prospect of a Palestinian declaration that he's considering withdrawing some of his forces, of course not the settlers, from the West Bank, in terms of not making this happen. Why is Israel so afraid of this?
I think Israel is afraid of this because essentially Israel's state was created by a UN General Assembly declaration. That should not be lost on anyone who is now talking about a Palestinian state being declared by a UN General Assembly. But secondly, I think the whole character of the Israeli regime, and not simply the Pollard and IPAC spy cases and the Levon affair, in a few minor little glitches like this, Israel's attack on the USS Liberty in 1967, which deliberately killed 34 American sailors and wounded scores of others. I think what Netanyahu is afraid of is that as Americans learn more about what has happened in Palestine from the kinds of international sources that you have on this network, that the Americans are going to potentially, grassroots Americans, are going to reevaluate why their government is giving carte blanche support to the Zionist movement and to the Israeli regime. This is what Netanyahu is afraid of, and I think the Mavi Marmara attack, which killed these innocent activists, and the latest actions of Israel in regard to a whole series of other events, suggests very strongly that this is a rogue regime. Its basic leadership conducts itself in a criminal fashion. And the people of this country, the United States, which is the overwhelming political and economic supporter of the Zionist state of Israel, once their support among the American people begins to crack somewhat, then I think the ball game is over. Netanyahu is simply afraid that as more and more information comes out about the dealings of his government throughout its history, that this is going to create a public relations nightmare that even the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and the World Zionist Congress are not going to be able to overcome.
Kenneth Katzman, a reaction to that, please.
there's certainly no shortage of things to react to with that type of vitriol. Let's not forget, Hamas
that type
is
of absolute
the Gaza
truth,
Strip,
friend.
And Hamas is considered a terrorist organization by the United States government. Israel is not, to my knowledge, and I think I would know this, it is not a listed state sponsor of terrorism. It has not been charged with any criminal activity. Its aid has not been suspended by the United States government. The United States government is very, very quick to criticize other governments when they commit the type of actions that your guest is attributing to them. Deliberate attack on the USS Liberty. The AIPAC spy scandal was not a spy scandal. No documents were exchanged. The charges were dropped. It was viewed as just a completely out of control case. It was dropped entirely. Pollard is still in jail, and if the U.S. was as forgiving of Israel as this guest says, Pollard would have been released a long time ago. So I think your guest is quite a bit off the reservation in some of his comments there.
Mark, you're going to come back to that, but let me first go to Phil and ask about the U.S. role. Phil, both the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate have approved bills that threaten the suspension of American aid to the Palestinian Authority if it insists on U.N. recognition. Statehood plan. What does that move say about the U.S. role, especially as an honest broker in the talks between Israel and the PA?
Well, I don't think the United States has ever been an honest broker in that sense, in terms of there being a level playing field. No, of course not. I think that the threat to withdraw funds is something that the United States feels it's part of its foreign policy tools when things don't go its way. I mean, it's done that, for example, when, its forces any country that signed to the International Criminal Court, for example, it threatened to withdraw funds if those countries were to bring any American citizens before the court. So I think the use of aid is considered a foreign policy tool of the United States. I think what this shows, though, is the real concern in Israel. We're talking at a point now where the Arab Spring is coming around. We're talking about a possible fusion of that with a Palestinian issue. We saw what happened on the day of Nakba, the killing of the people there. Virtually all of Israel's Arab borders are now in a really tense state. So I think that Israel, after years, ever since Camp David, of basically being the controlling power in the region, with, of course, American help and all of its sort of Arab leaders who are also a part of that consensus, then I think they really feel that this is in danger. And indeed, if there was a third intifada, this would have implications in Jordan. It would have implications in the new Egypt now. So the whole stability of the region, in the way that stability means basic control by the United States and Israel of the region, is under threat.
And let's find out what the U.S. can do, Mark Dankov. I mean, Palestine's statehood proposal is to be presented at the U.N. General Assembly, as you know, in September. Now, doesn't that mean the U.S. cannot veto that decision? And it could probably infer that, the U.S. is going to use other tools in its kit to thwart the declaration, since it has no veto. What other things can the U.S. do, in your opinion, in order to prevent this from happening?
Well, I think that that's going to be determined, of course, by President Obama and by the neoconservatives who are advising him in the American National Security Establishment, and also Israel's lobby on Capitol Hill is so absolutely comprehensive that this is one place where Republicans and Democrats will back a pro-Israel position, whatever it takes, particularly as we come up on another presidential election year. So the United States, I think, has a number of options that it can undertake, and presumably it will do so in terms of carrot and stick policies involving aid and withholding aid to various state players in the region. Let me say something to our one guest in regard to the USS Liberty attack. Dean Rusk, the Secretary of State under President Kennedy, Richard Helms, the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency, and Admiral Moore, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Ronald Reagan, all affirm that Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty and did so as a false flag event to try and drag the United States into the Six-Day War on Israel's side. In regard to the whole situation of Israel and terrorism, take a look at Gordon Thomas's work, Gideon Spies, The History of the Israeli Mossad. That will give a pretty good picture of what the Israeli intelligence community is really up to. But why is it that the Israelis and the American Central Intelligence Agency are using the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, a self-described Islamic Marxist organization that was assassinating Americans in Iran in the Pahlavi years? Why are they now working with this MEK-MKO organization and conducting operations in Iran that have included bomb blasts and the assassination of several American nuclear Iranian nuclear scientists?
Okay. Kenneth Katzmann, a brief answer, rebuttal there to Mark Dankoff, but at the same time, really would like to ask you, in terms of all these years that negotiations have taken place, what is wrong with the Palestinians wanting a statehood, where you have local Israeli papers saying that Prime Minister Netanyahu is frightened at this prospect?
Well, of course, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq is listed as a terrorist group by the United States government, so I think I'm going to let Mr. Dankoff continue to drown in his conspiracy theories that he seems to want to do. In terms of your question,
Look at the lobby that is trying to change that, and who's behind it?
Sir,
and it's proof
like
positive of the fact that Israel and the MKO...
Instead of getting caught up in conspiracy theories of novels and Robert Ludlum conspiracy nonsense, I'd like to answer the question, okay? The question was Netanyahu and his attitude toward the negotiations. Now, you know, obviously Netanyahu and President Obama have had significant strains. I do not believe they see completely eye to eye on this process. I think there's definitely a view that Mr. Netanyahu does not want to see, a Palestinian state result as the outcome of this process. But that's going to be for the Israeli people to decide, ultimately. Arab citizens are revolting against their governments because they know that their governments are corrupt and derelict.
Kenneth Katzmann, why is this Palestinian attempt to obtain this full membership in the UN been called an attempt to delegitimize Israel, a crime, and even a declaration of war against Israel?
Well, I'm sorry, repeat the question, please.
This attempt by Palestine for this statehood, international recognition at the UN, why has it been called an attempt to delegitimize Israel, a crime, and even a declaration of war against Israel?
Well, I don't see it as any of that. I mean, some people may call it that. My analysis, I don't see it that way. I think it's a unilateral step. It's a preemptive step. The United States has said we want to see, as an outcome of this process, a Palestinian state. But the issue is it has to be negotiated with Israel. They'll come to, hopefully, at some point, they will come to an agreement, an arrangement that suits everybody's interests, that is approved by both societies, and then the Palestinian state would be recognized. I don't see there's not a problem with that.
Okay, well, maybe that's a point of agreement there. Phil Reese, if Palestine becomes an independent state, what impact is it going to have on the negotiations between themselves and Israel?
Well, I think it would be one step up in achieving a level playing field. I don't think on a practical level it will have a lot, but it's exactly why Netanyahu is so worried now, the symbolism. Now the Palestinians can do something for themselves. And secondly, because everything to do with Israel and Palestine in terms of the United States and Israel, they kick up to the Security Council. Well, this is the United Nations, the real United Nations, the General Assembly of the world coming together and voicing their opinion on this. And I think that will be a real indictment on Israel and their attempts to continue to manipulate and control the lives of the Palestinians.
And Mark Dankoff, I mean, Israel has done that. Why should this make a difference? Plenty of UN resolutions that they have defied. And of course, we know about what goes on in the occupied territories almost on a daily basis. So Palestinian statehood, is it going to have any effect upon the peace process or the so-called peace process?
I think it will be a symbolic statement for the Palestinians and for the world community that supports them. But in terms of Israeli occupation of Palestine, in regard to continued Israeli insistence that all of Jerusalem is theirs and that they can continue engaging in illegal settlements in both Gaza and the West Bank, all of this is going to continue, in my judgment, with Mr. Netanyahu. And when we talk about the Palestinians having their own government, this Palestinian Authority, Israel and the United States have been dictating what was going to comprise that Palestinian Authority. There was a fair election, a one-person, one-vote election in Gaza, and they came up with a different result than the United States and Israel wanted in terms of who was going to represent the Palestinians. And therefore, this has caused much of the impasse since then. And of course, with Israel, we've had Operation Cast Lead and the killing of 1,400 people in Gaza with that. We've had the Goldstone Report, and with what WikiLeaks has produced in terms of what U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice has been doing behind the scenes to reassure Avigdor Lieberman that we would work to make sure that the Goldstone Report was de-emphasized, that it was delegitimized, that it was buried, and that presumably the United States would continue to work with Avigdor Lieberman and Netanyahu on every other issue. The world community, and I think the average American that is not looking at the Israeli-controlled press, understands what's going on here, and that the deck has absolutely been stacked against the Palestinians from the beginning of the State of Israel, and the deck is stacked against them now. And if the United States is sincere in wanting a Palestinian state, obviously the people that it needs to be putting pressure on are not Hamas and not the Palestinian Authority and not Hezbollah and Iran or anyone else. It needs to put the pressure on the Israeli government with a threat of a withdrawal in a of American aid, political and economic, if they continue this behavior. And until that happens, there's going to be no real progress on this.
Okay, I'd like to thank you very much. Former U.S. Senate candidate Mark Dankoff from San Antonio with the statements. Middle East expert with the U.S. Congressional Research Service. Kenneth Katzmann, thank you. He was on the phone there from Washington. And journalist and author Phil Reese from London, thank you for your statements. And of course, thank you, the viewer, for watching. Don't forget you can send us any questions or comments at newsroom@presstv.ir. From Ikava Tahvai and the entire team, it's goodbye.